Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Final hour of In the Loop on this Thursday. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Who stands to eat in this contest for your Texans versus the Chicago Bears? Sunday Night Football, 720 NBC. Mm-hmm. It'll be a Liberty wideout. And if you're showing up to the game, make sure that you got your Liberty white on. Make sure you get your tickets, your parking.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that situated sooner rather than later, because especially if you think you're going to get that situated on Sunday, you will be sorely disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. And then what else do I need?
Well, C.J. Stroud was talking about crowd, want it loud. But for the love of all things holy, quiet down a little bit when we're on offense.
Yeah, that was a fun thing. We'll bring that back up. I think I'll definitely want to play that explicitly because I found that to be funny.
Shut your mouth just a little bit.
Yeah,
when
like,
we're on
be
offense.
Loud. Actually, it kind of was, and he made sure to be like, "Yo, we love our crowd." But yeah. He also was like, "Hey, man,
kind of zip it.
No matter where it is, I'm gonna go out on ball. You know, if I don't do nothing, I'm a ball." Said C.J. Stroud, but. How about this? Who do you think is going to eat? Who stands to have an opportunity to really cook in this one against the Bears? Because I think you, like me, I imagine, are in a place where you're feeling really good going into this game, as if this is going to be almost the opportunity for this team to tee off.
I'm feeling really good, and I'm feeling really good because who I think is going to eat. Interested in y'all's answers, and also of course our listeners, as always, 713-572-4610 or YouTube or Twitch. Like, who's going to be the Mixon or the Nico? Who's going to be that good in this game? If we can agree the Texans, well, they're clearly favored, and the Texans are going to win this game. I have an answer, and it's neither of those guys. Not that I don't think they're going to play well. I think the answer is those two guys on the ends defensively, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. They've got to be coming out of their skin for not getting at least between them a sack last week.
I do wonder. I know what you're saying, but I think that they probably, as much as I know that they're pass rushers and they want to go get the quarterback, mm-hmm. I think that they've got to be proud of themselves because it does seem like the game plan, the onus was mm-hmm. make sure that you contain. Apply pressure, but contain is the first and foremost.
Right.
And they did a good job of that. You didn't see very much of, you know, the breaking the pocket and as much as probably was possible mm-hmm. with a guy like Anthony Richardson, who also, in being young, right, one of the things you see about a young mobile quarterback is that they'll go to that breaking the pocket sooner rather than later, and so you'll see that even more so. And it happened maybe a couple of times where you see like a Danielle Hunter crash in to try and, you know, knife down and try and get something done, and then now you expose that side. But it didn't happen a ton, and so you know that discipline was happening on the outside, and I do think that kind of limited some of the opportunities to get at him. I do wonder if that's going to be a similar situation because Caleb is a dude who will move around. Caleb Williams has that mobility.
What you're saying is not wrong, and I'm sure they're satisfied. I'm sure they're happy. I'm sure they celebrated in the locker room and on the plane ride home and all that. But I think these two dudes, they've got to be, like I said, just chomping at the bit to get their sacks. And they've got Caleb Williams coming into town, home game. You know, the sacks came from the inside this past week.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Was that the taco still?
No, I didn't have a taco.
Back up. Oh, you didn't.
Yeah, but I think like these two guys right now, they are just waiting to get, and then they're going to be trying to meet at the quarterback. I think Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. By the way, we talked with Carmen Vitale earlier this week about this Bears offensive line. That is a weak spot. That is a somewhat of a weak spot anyway.
Yeah.
For the Bears, it's kind of like when you're. You know, you're on deck and they're bringing in Rafael Montero. You're like, all right, you know.
Yeah, and it's in part because of something like that where they've been doing some rotation.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't think that there's, first of all, the NFL, particularly offensive line, isn't a place where you expect a rotation. If you look at a game book, as I've been obviously, we're wont to do in the media, right, mm-hmm. when it comes down to the plays, the snaps. If there's five players on any given team that you expect to see 100% of the snaps on one side of the football,
it's
the offensive line, except not what the Bears are doing. They're getting different guys rotating in. I believe it was the right guard is what she was talking about, that mm-hmm. spot, which, hey, that actually speaks to not necessarily just those outside guys because, you know, your right tackle, if your right guard is switching, that changes the game a little bit for your right tackle and your center because they're playing with different guys next to them and, you know, different tendencies then apply. But that also means the interior guys maybe have an opportunity to punk a dude in the middle because he hasn't been seeing all the tendencies as the game develops the whole way across. But you mentioned the idea that this offensive line can be a little bit of a liability for that Chicago Bears team. Funny enough, and this is why you have to take Pro Football Focus with a grain of salt, I was interested in, like, hey, how do they rank some of this?
Yeah.
And obviously, again, 1 week when it comes to the grading, when they go down and they grade all these games, but Chicago Bears, when it comes to the pass block grading, Chicago Bears ranked ninth, which is top third of the league. Yeah. Like, they view the pass blocking capability of that Bears team to be better, and I mean, If you go with, you know, the expert that we talked to, Carmen Vitale, NFC North reporter for Fox Sports, if you go with your eyes, if you happen to watch that game, you saw that Caleb Williams was doing a lot of running around.
He
now, sometimes that pressure and those sacks are really a quarterback kind of problem, right? Because they're out there holding the football or they're putting themselves in bad situations. But if you pair those things together, and I'm interested in seeing just how stout the offensive line is, and I think you lean back into the idea that, yeah, man, the defensive line as a whole, the idea of Fatukasi, Edwards, as well as Neil Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., yeah. I think they should have an opportunity to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, no, I am all in on these ends finally getting theirs to start the season here. And I know, you know, Caleb Williams is mobile. We know that. But I just feel like, you know, he's kind of had his head spinning a little bit in moments last week. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like Andy Kalu said with us earlier today, maybe a Jalen Petrie sort of type blitz. But I think it's going to be the two ends, Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter, or one or both. Who do you think is going to eat this week to make a big difference?
I'm going to do the very lazy thing, the very easy thing, because why make things harder than they need to be is my life's philosophy. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Mixon eats again, man. Like,
that'd be huge.
This is a Bears defense that let Tony Pollard go in with the Titans and average 5.1 a carry. What did Joe Mixon average? 5.3 a carry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I do think that is a possibility, especially with the understanding, and this is what we've talked about all week, is what we talked about since we saw 159 get put up by Joe Mixon. And, of course, the offensive line is that. That bodes so well for this team because of all of the offensive threats passing the football, and those threats are still there. A shout out to the 832 who pointed to, they said, my boy Tank, and Tank Dell absolutely still has that opportunity to do those things, but Nico Collins only becomes more of a threat to teams when you go and you look up and you go, oh yeah, 117 yards. That's right, he does that, right? Steph Diggs comes in and shows that, all right, he can get into those spaces that you're worried about and make it to, and with all of the attention that's going to be given there, and with the understanding that just last week they had a problem stopping the run. Well, you got a guy in Joe Mixon, and with this offensive line, they're coming into this game with a lot of confidence in their ability to do that. I think that they'll smell weakness. They smell blood in the water, and they have the opportunity to do that again.
And they've got a hot hand. You know, we're talking about today, you know, about how I feel like, you know, what he's going to do is just change the entire path of this offense. Like, all of a sudden, maybe you're not going to have just, you know, always pass first, you know, offense. I still think they're a pass-first team, but he's got a hot hand. And the Bears are coming in with a defensive front, I mean, a rush defense that has been vulnerable already. Yeah, you're gonna test that for sure. I think Tank might be a good answer too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Tank, you know, we saw him sort of, you know, get going a little bit, especially in the run game. But I think that might be a real good pick. And depending on how the Bears also defend, you know, over the top and Nico and all that stuff.
Now, someone also mentioned this from the 713 leaning on. Now you got me having the hiccups. What are you doing?
This is catchy.
What is this? I don't think I've ever heard of, like, was it hiccups or like kind of like belches, like, or whatever.
No, it was just like something in your throat.
Whatever that is. Man. Like, I never thought of that being contagious, but here goes Lopez somehow giving that to me. That's weird. But yeah, you were mentioning the idea like Neil Hunter, Will Anderson Jr. might eat. This is another reason why you might point to Daniil Hunter. It's from the 713 that said, hey, he has experience against this Bears offensive line.
Yes.
So I do wonder, now, of course, different offensive coordinator, I do think that some of the things shift within that, but yeah, no, that is another way that you can look at this for sure. Do you view anything when it comes to, I know we've spent a lot of hot air talking about the Bears defensive secondary because they have some names and they've shown themselves capable of taking the ball away. In fact, D'Amico Ryans even said that in his availability yesterday. Do you view the Texans defensive secondary as a possibility of eating? We've talked about them and their possibility of being a takeaway defense over the course of the season. And Caleb Williams has thrown some things up there, especially in, I mean, week one, he threw up some potential interceptions. Do you view that as a possibility of maybe being able to take advantage of?
Of the Texan secondary, you know, you're talking about Caleb Williams?
No, the Texan secondary taking advantage of Caleb Williams being some interceptions like the 8-3-2. They say Stingley comes down with two of them things, which, okay, let's go.
I'll take two. I think there's a possibility that they could. You know, I think they're going to pretty much stay away as best they can from Derek Stingley. I think this is going to be a benefit of Kamari Lassiter.
Kamari.
What if he gets one in consecutive weeks to start his career? I mean, that'd be pretty.
Bullock, you're talking about?
Kalen Bullock, my bad. Yeah, okay. Kalen Bullock.
I must have missed the Kamari Lassiter interception.
No. what if Kalen Bullock?
But hey, look, Kamari, you want to add one too? Let's do that.
Ends up with one in, you know, each of the first two games.
Then we really have conversations about, hey, man, that 25 snaps definitely needs to go up, right? And that's something that has been talked about, right? I feel D'Amico even mentioned that, the idea that, you know, that probably needs to go up, the idea of his usage. But, yeah, I think that could be interesting. Is there anyone else that comes to mind for you when you go, hey, man, they have an opportunity to really eat in this? We mentioned the defensive line as a whole, but you mentioned specifically the edges, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to Danielle Hunt, when it comes to Will Anderson Jr., I took the low-hanging fruit of Joe Mixon behind this offensive line. He just ran for 159, you know, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. I think it was the FedEx Ground Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Bears defense that's coming in that allowed a lot of rushes, 5.1 yards per carry for Tony Pollard last week. So I think that's there. We mentioned maybe Kalen Bullock, maybe Tank Dell. Is there anyone else specifically that you're thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, you based yours on Joe Mixon because, I mean, he's done it and he's facing a team that has given up, you know, yardage. Well, you know, two guys that have done it and are facing the interior offensive line that has not done it. What, you know, Fatakasi and Edwards, Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, they each had a sack last year. They're facing
last week.
Mm-hmm. They're facing an interior offensive front from the Bears that is not even close to the Colts.
No.
Not even close. I mean, if it's not the ends, I mean, you know, maybe the guys on the inside just, you know, back it up with another big day.
How do you feel if we end up 2 weeks in and all of the quarterback sacks are from the tackles?
I mean, I'd be amused, but I also would be very encouraged because, once again, DeNico Autry isn't even there yet.
Yeah, and I still think that is a plausibility because, again, you have a mobile quarterback, and I do wonder how much the game plan or the emphasis for those ends will be keep him in the pocket, force him to stay in there, and see if we can just kind of squeeze him in the pocket as opposed to allowing him to utilize his very clear mobility and his very clear willingness to throw on the run where he has the capability of, you know, doing that. I do think that is a possibility. From the 832 on the text line, how do you think the defense will respond to Chicago, or when Chicago, rather, tries to go deep over the top since Indianapolis had success doing that over and over? I think that there was definitely some openings there. I don't know that there's going to be the same factors that will play in, because I think we talked about the idea of maybe the Texans defense with the emphasis on stopping Jonathan Taylor, with the emphasis on making sure that Anthony Richardson does not beat you with his legs. Maybe there was some of that looking into the backfield, squeezing down, where I think that is not that's not here in the same degree. And then also, one of the things that is a benefit is we know Roma Dunze probably does not play in this game, right?
Yeah, he's not going to play anything.
With the MCL sprain. And when we talked to Carmen, she was like, I mean, I would be surprised if he played.
Yeah.
We also are not sure if Keenan Allen plays in this game as well. And if they are missing two of their three wide receivers, I don't know how much I am concerned about, you know, their next guys up being the guys that take you deep on this team.
You know, you mentioned the question, you know, how do you think the defense would respond if they try to go deep? If they have success, based on what, Reggie, you're just talking about, they could be short a player or two. The approach defensively is going to be different because you don't have you have a mobile quarterback, but not a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, and you definitely don't have a running back like Jonathan Taylor. If they have success over the top, over the middle against this Texans defense, then we can worry.
Yeah, we'll have conversations.
Yeah, we can worry. No question about it. So that's a good point, you know, that you brought up. But I still think the ends are, like, Danielle Hunter wants to start. I mean, he had 16 and a half sacks last year. I mean, and Will Anderson, the whole story with Will Anderson right now is, let's see the improvement. Let's see, you know, him add on to those moves that we started to see at the end of the year. You know, he was a big force last year, but he didn't have the enormous sack number.
Yeah.
And it's eating at him, you know? So I think those two guys right there are going to really, really kind of pick it up. I think those two guys are going to eat.
Yeah, super excited for Sunday when we get an opportunity to see that tested. Prime time, baby. It hasn't happened a ton, so you want to make sure you get to NRG Stadium early, get loud, wear your white, get your parking in order, all that stuff, so that we can see Texans, Bears, Sunday Night Football. Coming up next, it's time to get some Figgy's Mixtape. Fig, what you got for us?
Man, Mr. Shannon Sharp has some explaining to do yesterday, and he had Al Gore's internet going crazy. And plus, Dancing with the Stars might need to change their name, and I'm going to explain why.
Okay, let's get that explanation next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a thirsty Thursday. And speaking of thirsty, I felt like Shannon Sharp probably was a little thirsty.
Why? Because he was after that rigorous Instagram activity?
Live. Yeah.
He wanted a Gatorade and a sandwich.
Hey, yo. Probably. So I
don't act like you've never needed a Gatorade.
Well,
and a
you
sandwich.
Know, you got to replenish, you know? You do got to replenish the electrolytes.
So, yeah, he had the internet going nuts yesterday. It was actually around this time during the show. I seen Ocho texting in, like, hey.
He was tweeting a lot rapidly about what was happening.
I'm like, what was going on? And then after the show, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So,
you meant our guy Ocho. I thought you were talking about Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, which he was tweeting about, because that's his partner on the Nightcap podcast.
Yeah. I'll talk about our listener, Ocho, but
someone had taken video of that Instagram live, put it on Twitter, and Ocho Cinco, like, quote tweeted it, I think, 4 or 5 times in the span of like 15 minutes, just cracking jokes about his dude as it felt like that was still kind of actively in play.
Yeah, so I think everybody was live tweeting at that point, but they actually did an emergency podcast. It was the Nightcap podcast.
Emergency.
Emergency. Where you put that.
Yeah, no,
they called it that.
They called it that. Yeah. It was, I guess they wasn't supposed to hop on that night, but they did a special emergency podcast.
It was glorious.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
Oh, you tapped in?
Oh, heck yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, I did too.
Wow. Yeah.
But here's the actual audio from the Instagram Live.
Are you for real?
No, I'm joking.
Buddy, I'm joking. I just got here.
I'm joking. FCC, we cannot play that.
Yeah, I was like, I think that wouldn't go well.
Yeah. What I can play is the explanation from Shannon Sharp and the apology, and he kind of explained what happened.
Came in, I threw my phone on the bed, gazed at an activity. I did not know IG Live. I've never been on IG Live. I've never turned IG Live on. All of a sudden, my other phone is going off and people are calling me FaceTime.
We can hear it in the video.
I've never talked to a day in my life on FaceTime. And it didn't, I'm like, why are y'all calling me FaceTime? And after a while, he says, Shannon, you on IG Live. I'm like, doing what? You know, I'm like, what am I on IG Live for? I ain't hit no IG Live button. And he said, they can hear me. I said, hear me doing what? He said, sounds like you were having sex. Man, my heart sank. It dropped. See, I called ESPN after I just got this good. Tell them the truth. I said, I just got to tell them the truth. My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was me being a healthy, active male.
I felt better once he actually told the truth, man.
It fixed everything.
Yeah, because they originally said he was hacked.
Yeah.
And it was just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, nah, sometimes you just got to, like, I think this was the perfect way to sum it up, because he wasn't really ignorant. He wasn't, like, making, like, super insensitive jokes stuff like that. He told what happened. And you got to respect that.
Yeah, honesty is often the best policy. And in all reality, it was fair. Like, just being honest. Hey, this is the thing that happened. It was an accident. Did not intend that at all. I apologize for that being the case. However, you know, he would be doing that.
But people also, this should be in, like, a college public relations course.
Yes, agreed.
You know, you guys always hear me say, own it, lean into it, because it's, basically, there's always going to be somebody, hey, Shannon, how about that time, blah, blah, blah. There's always going to be a few outliers. But for the most part, it's over. Now, I will say to the emergency podcast, Man, Ocho's question.
Lighten him up. Lighten him up. Ocho had no chill about it.
I think the reason he was doing this, yes, because this is probably irony right here. I think it was a couple days ago or the last episode, they actually got into it because Shannon Sharp felt like Ocho wasn't really being professional, mm-hmm, about the whole podcast thing, because I think he showed up late and all that stuff. So they kind of went back and forth, and Shannon Sharp talked to him about being a professional.
Yeah.
And then this happens. So he's like, oh, what happened to that professional life?
It's just a different profession.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It is.
That's all that is.
Yeah. The other thing, the one thing I didn't like about this, though, was when I tuned in, and Shannon Sharp got a lot of live reads and promotion stuff, mm-hmm, going on. Why are you advertising the sex pills, man? Like, to me, that, like,
well, they work.
And all look, right.
See, that's where I'm going with it, man. Like, I don't think this was a fake thing. I don't think he did this on purpose. But when you advertising the sex pills all throughout the episode, mm-hmm, it's like, all right, bro, did you do this on purpose to get this advertisement in?
What do you think is worse? Do you think if, in order to kind of preserve the sincerity in what you're talking about here, do you think that it's worse for the audience if he had gone to, like, you know, the purveyors of said pills and were like, hey, you mind if we don't do advertise on this particular episode for, you know, particular reasons, when we'll still advertise on the other episodes like we typically, yeah, do, so that you clear the space for that? Do you think that the listeners will notice that and will feel worse about it, that you intentionally went out of your way to move those, or no?
I would. Sorry, Figgy, but I would say, if I were the advertiser, I would say, what are you, crazy?
This is when people are going to be there. Yeah.
Are you crazy?
See, I'm fine, because he was advertising like three or four different things, mm-hmm, before the podcast even started.
Yeah.
I'm fine if it's that. But every time you bring it up, oh, look, I got these pills. These pills don't.
No, man.
It's just
I think y'all are both off.
To me, it's just that. To me, that's where the conspiracy theorists come out and say, oh, he did this on purpose.
Well, I think most people realize it was not a conspiracy. It wasn't a plan. It wasn't anything like that. But, I mean, people that have lost 100 pounds advertise, you know, fat pills.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Like look, this is gold. It was handed to them on a silver platter.
I'm totally fine with this. Yeah. But it make it seem like the whole thing was a stunt. It seemed like this was a whole stunt. And then I ain't even going to get to the other reason why people think he did this on purpose.
Yeah.
But, that's the part I didn't really care for. Like, all throughout the thing, you're like, all right, man, we heard the ad read at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't got to keep doing this all throughout the doggo episode. That's the only problem I had with it, though. So, are you guys fans or ever watched Dancing with the Stars?
Kind of like you were talking about yesterday with Survivor. I watched the first couple of years, and then I haven't been back in on it.
Nah, Dancing with Stars wasn't my bag, but I understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, so this season, they actually have a couple people on here that probably a little bit noticeable. So, you got Danny Amendola.
Okay.
Texas legend. You got Dwight Howard. I would say a Houston legend too,
yep,
in some ways.
Yeah.
And this name right here kind of threw me off a little bit, because I'm like, who the hell is this girl? So Anna Sorokin, and she go by the name Anna Delvey. So I looked it up, and I didn't even realize. I tried to watch a Netflix series about her. This girl's a professional scammer.
Oh, she's a con artist.
She's a con artist. I think they should change the name to Dancing with the Cons, because they actually have a con artist on here on Dancing with the Stars.
Dude, I'm reading it right now. I had no idea.
Yeah, so real quick, I'm going to play the story of her and how she got to where she is now.
From handcuffs and house arrest to Dancing with the Stars, Anna Sorokin, also known as Anna Delvey, is going to be on the upcoming season of the TV show. She's the con artist convicted of swindling banks, hotels, and friends in 2019 after falsely building a reputation as a wealthy German heiress. Netflix even created a miniseries about her called Inventing Anna. The Dancing with the Stars show describes her as the notorious ankle bracelet fashionista in a press release. Sorokin is currently under house arrest in New York and is fighting a deportation deportation case. Immigration authorities claim she overstayed her visa and must return to her native Germany. Government officials have not confirmed any changes to her house arrest conditions to accommodate filming the competition dance show in Los Angeles. Now also a podcast host, she's previously said she never uses the term con artist for self-reference. Sorokin will be competing against contestants that include two Olympians.
She's, all right. They have a con artist on Dancing with the Stars.
Is she going to dance in the garage of her house? like, what is going on?
So she addressed that. So they, so she was actually on the premiere. I guess they had the premiere red carpet for Dancing with the Stars. And they asked her about her pretty little ankle bracelet.
You still have to wear the ankle monitor?
Oh, yeah, that's still here.
Are you going to be bejeweling it for Dancing with the Stars? That's going to be Ezra's
job. Yeah, no, I literally brought my whole kit with me. We're going to rhinestone that sucker.
And you'll have to wear it during the competition?
Yeah, of course.
Are you officially still on house arrest with the exception of this exemption?
My house arrest got loosened, I think, the first week of August, so I am allowed to travel anywhere within New York. I had to ask for the permission for the authorities for ICE to give me permission to travel. Travel out of state. Actually, I miss being on house arrest because I now have to commute and people don't come to me anymore.
Are you at all intimidated or nervous?
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Then I'm gonna arrest me for dancing badly.
Are they struggling that bad to have somebody like this on here, man? Like, there's not another athlete you can get. There's not another celebrity you can get.
Yeah.
And you get a known con artist.
The word that has been on my lips for probably about 5 minutes, why?
Yeah.
It's just why? And I guess one of the things is celebrity has really flattened in some ways over the last, I don't know how long, I don't even know what the time period is to put on it, but like the idea of a celebrity, like think of the All-Star Games, right? Mm-hmm. When we get to the celebrity All-Star Game, you look at half the people and you're like, who is this? It's like influencer, what have you. Like, yeah. I just think that's in some ways that with the stars, it's kind of tough because the stars of today are a lot more fractured as media fractures where there's little silos where this is a star in that section, but you know nothing about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not anticipate that one of those designations would be con artist. I just, wow, okay, very good.
She's also probably KGB. I'm only half kidding. Like, she's lit.
Play the music. Where's the X-Files? Go ahead and throw that up there.
No. She's a con artist, so she has all these very particular skills. It's a good way to get into different countries. She's lived in Russia, Germany, London, England, and here. And now she's kind of wedged her way into society.
Open your third eye, Fig.
Yeah, because if I'm reading it right, Figgy, like that's where she conned all the society people who are movers and shakers and powerful people.
Yeah, she conned people over $50 million.
Yeah, she's KGB, man. She's KGB.
I can't believe this, man. Yeah. I lost so much. And I mean, I wasn't watching Dancing with the Stars like that anyway.
Yeah,
but I had a respect for it, man.
Why?
Because I mean, you getting celebrities that's trying to dance and they take that stuff kind of serious.
It's weird.
But you, like, oh, she's a criminal, man. Mm-hmm. So, like, she ain't somebody that, you know.
And she's not even famous, really.
Yeah. It's not celebrity. It's not like she was a criminal and became a podcaster and blew up from that.
Yeah.
No, she's known for being a con artist. And so that's what's going to be on the bottom of the screen when they put her name there.
And one of the great things and terrible things about America is you can succeed in spite of yourself. And so there you go. And we've let criminals do a lot worse. So, hey, it is what it is. I mean, I wasn't watching. I won't be watching. That is not a real designation. More power to them.
I do want to check out the Netflix series.
Look at you. Look at you.
I think it's called Anna something.
Inventing Anna.
Inventing Anna. Yeah, so I kind of do want to check it out, see how she scammed everybody, but...
See, it's working.
I was disappointed, man. Why you got to have her on the damn show, man? That don't make no sense. I get you guys out of here on this. So, sometimes randomly, I like to look up, see what day it is, what's a national day.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm about to hit up, get one day, one national day or something like that. It's actually a whole list of days it is today.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So today, September 12th, 2024, is National Video Games Day.
Okay, excellent. I can partake.
It's National Hug and High Five Day.
Excellent. We can
do
that.
You have to do both.
All right. It's National.
At the same time. Yeah.
This one, it got a little confusing for me. It's National Just One Human Family Day.
I don't know what that means.
Just One Human Family Day.
Yeah.
No idea.
I have no idea what that is, too. This one, I think it'd be pretty funny, is National School Picture Day.
Oh, that's good.
So I might have to dig and find my school picture and just post it and put hashtag national.
Not a single one of them are good.
No, 100%. And we was talking about haircuts earlier. My haircut was awful.
That's right. If you had one.
Nah, it was bad. It's National Report Medicare Fraud Day.
There is such a thing?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Chocolate Milkshake Day.
That's very disparate from the last one.
Yeah,
very different.
I thought that was kind of interesting, though. But
we just needed a day to report Medicare fraud.
I might have to take advantage of that National Chocolate Shake Day.
Man. Oh, I thought you were going to say the report Medicare fraud. I thought you were just like, I've known of this Medicare fraud for a long time, and today is finally the day.
Yeah, it's been hitting a lot of NBA players, too, former NBA players.
Yeah. So,
looking at you, Big Baby Davis.
Yeah,
all right, there you go. That's Figgy's Mixtape. You can catch it at 1:20 p.m. every weekday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got the Astros game on a television, and Fromber had a 25-pitch first inning.
Yeah, he likes throwing the ball.
Yeah, apparently so. Mm-hmm. But he is through
two. He was looking like Patrick Ewing out there sweating.
Man, he was. You joking, but for real, he's been through two thus far. It'll be interesting to see just how deep he goes into this one after having a pretty cumbersome first. But there you go. That's what's happening with the Astros, currently still knotted and nothing in the bottom of the second. All right, coming up next, let's revisit C.J. Stroud. He spoke to the media. He had some fun things to say, including making sure that the crowd gets loud. We'll talk about it next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Thursday in H-Town. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Taking it quickly to the text line from the 337. They said they've been having this text queued up since last night. Hayward looks like he doesn't want to be here at the plate. Father Time is undefeated. Then a bomb. Shaking my head. That's right. Jason Hayward, he turned on one, man.
Yeah, he did.
From the left side of the box, he sent it into the right field. Right field
stands. About four rows up.
That's a two-run blast. So your Astros are up 2-0. Framber Valdez also made quick work of the second inning. So he's back in a place where it's all right. So, they're off to the races there at the Juice Box, 2-0 in favor of the Astros. All right, C.J. Stroud spoke to the media yesterday. We played a little bit of that when he was talking about how this defense would challenge this Bears defense that's coming in poses. But there was so much more that was interesting from him. And we're not even going to be able to really dig too deep into it. But one of the things that was that I found to be very fun was he was talking about just the idea of being in prime time, something that this Texans team hasn't done very often, or hasn't done a lot, and they haven't done really since 2019 in a real way. And so with that being the case, C.J. Stroud was asked, how much do you want to harness the energy crowd energy on Sunday Night Football?
I'm always going to be myself. I really don't get into the hoopla and away crowd, home crowd. I really don't mind. I just try to execute, do my game, do what I need to do at a high level. I love our crowd. You know, they do a good job of bringing juice and energy. I hope since it's a night game, people come a little earlier. maybe because of the Houston traffic, people come a little late. But and then on offense, like, they could be quiet a little more. I'll help. Especially when we're going fast, like, it'd be hard for the guys to hear me. So I think we can be a little better with that. But, hey, we love the energy.
My man playing both sides of things, though.
He is, hey. can y'all get your stuff together when we're on offense, please? Love you.
And that's
what he said.
That didn't even feel like a joke. That felt like a sincere, like,
no,
hey, guys,
sure.
Recognize that when we're on offense, the communication needs to happen, too, like it doesn't.
Yeah.
So if just a little bit quiet during that
Some
time.
Some of the fans that's probably not even into the game just cheering for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah.
Just be quiet.
Oh, yeah. But I'm actually, you know, heed his words, especially, like you said, when they're moving fast.
Also, making sure to show up early. You don't really have very many excuses when it's a 7:20 first kick.
That's what I was about to say. I think the evening game, the night game, is definitely going to help that. People are going to want to get good and liquored up and, you know, primed for the game, so I'm sure they'll be taken off early from work.
Yeah, before you get liquored up. Well, yeah. I mean, it's a Sunday as well.
Oh,
I mean, depending
right.
on the people that some people work on Sundays. I don't want to pretend like there aren't people that keep this good city of Houston going all through the week, all the way through the weekend. But then also, before you go and get good and liquored up, make sure that you're on top of your P's and Q's. Liberty White, make sure that you have that on. Make sure that you get your parking handled well before Sunday, because on Sunday you're not going to be able to get that done. And, show up.
That's interesting.
Be proud.
And they've made a very good big point on that. I know they've sent out to season ticket holders, but if you just have tickets for this, the parking is not going to be real available on game day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to get it now. Yeah.
Yeah, and ain't 2021 now.
No, it's not.
And ain't 2022.
It's 2024. when this team is looked at, I mean, by even the betting markets, I was talking about this earlier, as top two team in the AFC. I mean, they're poised as a Super Bowl contender in that way. So with that being the case, one of the reasons that they're poised as a Super Bowl contender, and this is cut two here, Fig, is this offense and what it seems like. And they asked CJ, the media did, is this Texans offense just scratching the surface?
Most definitely. I think watching the film from last week, there was definitely a lot of plays we left on the field. We can clean up a lot of things. So, yeah, I definitely think that we barely show what we got, but it's kind of cool because we still did kind of play pretty good. Once we stopped shooting ourselves in the foot, the plays that we ran good looked great, but the ones that we just barely missed on, like it's like the little small things, if we clean those up, man, I think we would have had a way better day. But definitely great to learn and to win.
I'm looking forward to it. Like the way that this offense, and we've talked about it today, and we'll preview the game a lot more in depth tomorrow as well. But the way this offense functioned in Indianapolis versus what could happen this Sunday, I think it's going to be different. Obviously, they're not going to abandon Joe Mixon, especially with the hot hand, see what he can do. They're in such a groove right now running the ball. But I could see them opening it up. I could see Tank Dell becoming a bigger factor. And he's another guy that really wants to kind of take his game to another level, Tank Dell.
For sure. Man, I don't know. You said that it'd be different. Different as far as, for sure, I don't know that you get 30 carries for Joe Mixon again. I do think that that's an opportunity for them to continue to exploit, and I don't know if that...
Yeah, like I said, they're not going to abandon
then it. Then shifts this up a ton.
He's got the hot hand. They're going to, try to really work with Joe Mixon and really establish the run game. But... I know they want to kind of get CJ and that and those receivers going.
Another thing that CJ talked about amongst a lot of stuff was, and speaking of Joe Mixon, they asked him to go back if he remembered his first combo with Joe Mixon after the Texans signed him.
Yeah, it's somebody, when we played him last year, we knew that one of our keys to victory against Cincinnati was like stop 28, and I definitely do think like I see why we had that game plan in, just because not only is he a great back and he runs hard, but he makes our line right a lot, and runs off their blocks, sets blocks up, and we just had a conversation when he knew that he was coming here, that we were just excited to work with one another, being two Cali dudes, and honestly, I mean, we just knew that we were trying to go win a lot, and that's something that he was used to, was winning in Cincinnati. So he brought that winning fashion in. He knows what it takes to get all the way to the big one.
I mean, Joe Mixon, everybody uses this term probably too much these days, but he is that dog. Like that's what we saw on.
You got that dog.
Yeah. And it's used too often, to be honest. It's kind of lost its luster. But I think that's what they saw last year. That's what we've seen now, since he's been here. And we heard it from Joe Mixon earlier. We played the Cody Stutes audio from earlier where he's like, how did he put it? It's like, we're late. No, we got reservations.
We got reservations and we're late.
Yeah, we got reservations and we're late. And I think that's a guy that he's just going to bring so much to this team.
Yeah, and I guess that was something that I will admit personally, I don't think I appreciated enough, is just how much Joe Mixon, and when it comes to mentality, leadership he'll bring into what's happening here. And hearing CJ Stroud mention it, like, hey, man, he has an expectation of winning, and that's something that he's bringing to the squad. So I love that. And yes, Pal Pals, who isn't a dog nowadays? They say that about everyone.
Yeah, but it's too much.
But it's real.
Hey, Mills was a dog at one point.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but... But it is real in a lot of these cases, and especially his.
Sorry, hitting the wrong buttons. One more before we get to our fellas who are hanging out, Buffalo Wild Wings and Katie. Apparently saying that we look good because we're up on one of them TVs out there.
Are we on the big screen?
We are not on the big screen. That'd be a lot. I'm like, the Astros game is...
We're on the big screen.
We're on a screen. We're not on the big screen because the Astros game is on. Come on, man.
So?
You think we should be on the big screen over the Astros?
Well, they have two big screens.
Okay. Yeah. Right, fair enough. I mean, what are you supposed to say to that?
Yeah.
And then once more, I think this is interesting, and this is 13 here, because we did talk about the fact that Dalton Schultz did not practice for a second day again today. So we know that Brevin Jordan, Cade Stover, those are the next guys when it comes to the next guy up. CJ Stroud was actually asked specifically about his impressions of rookie tight end Cade Stover in the debut.
Cade is somebody who's very selfless. He's been like that since I met him, and he's willing to do everything to win. And I think he played great in his first game. It's not easy, you know, going out there not knowing, not getting a whole bunch of reps doing a new position, but he attacked it, and he really just wants to win. And I love that dude, man. And I definitely do think, like, he'll be a huge part to this offense's success.
Maybe sooner rather than later.
Yeah, yeah. I really am fascinated and I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they use him, especially if Dalton Schultz is out.
Yeah.
Because then he's going to have to be over there and maybe in that role. Well, I'm sure he's still going to play some fullback. He was very good at it in week one, but you're one tight end short, so everybody's role kind of shifts a little bit.
Yeah, I do wonder how that looks. And, of course, we're a little ahead of ourselves because, again, Dalton Schultz missed yesterday in practice and today in practice with that ankle injury. Tomorrow will be telling,
crucial,
right?
Yeah.
If he gets out there and practices, then there's still very much opportunity for him to get out and, you know, play on Sunday night. Yeah. If not, then we open up the possibility of, okay, is it Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover? And does that mean then that you need to maybe include British Brooks more in some of your fullback situations? Does that what does that change?
To that too, right?
What was that?
British Brooks, I'm looking forward to.
If he's out here laying dudes out like he did on special teams, yeah, go ahead and put him in front of Joe Mixon and see what that does. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in that and seeing what that looks like. What I'm also interested in is talking to our fellas out in Katy, Buffalo Wild Wings. It's, of course, Clint, it's Ron, it is The Drive. Fellas, how's it looking out there?
It's looking good, baby. We're back in the same place we was last week here in Katy. We enjoyed our time here last week, and we look forward to enjoying our time here again. Y'all on about three TVs, and no, you are not on any of the real big ones.
See, I tried
so
to
I just
tell
them. Tried to express it.
Come
I heard
on now.
You. I know you got standards, OG, and expectations. Damn it! And you ain't on the real big one.
That's all right. I'll take it.
They got
I'll
a Kyle Tucker on there.
Hey, J Lo, baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. Hey.
Baby steps, bro. It's we're making progress here, man. Y'all look good, though. Damn, y'all look good.
I appreciate it.
Thank
hey, man,
you,
it's going to be looking good out there. And when we talk about baby steps, no baby steps on what you guys got for the people when they come out and see you, right?
Absolutely not. We got it all. We got gift cards we can hook people up with. We got tickets to games that we can hook people up with. We've got the great cooler. We've got autographed helmet by Titus Howard, which is a coincidence because Titus Howard is going to join us here in about 20 minutes or so. So no, man, it's a lot to get to out here. And, of course, you get to come kick it with us and have some good drinks, good food, and enjoy yourself and a good time getting ready for this Texans-Bears game.
With this Texans-Bears game, we were kind of talking about it earlier, about we were trying to figure out who's going to eat, who is positioned to be the Joe Mixon of week two against this Bears defense or against this Bears team in general. Is there a person that comes to mind for you fellas?
Say it again.
Who's positioned to eat? Who's going to eat just like Joe Mixon did in week one?
Well, I think there's a good chance Joe Mixon can. First of all, I mean, I just got through watching a good chunk of the first half of Tennessee, and I know that Tennessee got out to a lead and then choked it away in the second half. But the truth of the matter is, old buddy from Memphis that was at the Cowboys, what's his name of mine?
Pollard.
Tony Pollard was eating. There was plenty of room in the run game with them a couple of times. And so as I see it, there's going to be some opportunity. They had some similar concepts rolling with that toss zone that Mixon had a lot of success with last week. So I don't see any reason right now why the Texans shouldn't be able to allow Joe Mixon to eat. And then look, with this you know, receiving core that we've talked about for hell feels like 4 years now, but I know it's only been a couple of months. I mean, it's just a matter of time before they, you know, not just one of them, but before they start eating in a manner of, boy, you know, Bobby Slowick is in his bag and these guys are just, I mean, they're schematically, things are just wide open. It's just a matter of time. So I think it's all possible.
No, yeah. And we were talking about it. Go good, Ron.
I was going to say, I'd probably slide towards the receivers. I feel like the Bears staff is probably, all right, we're not going to let Joe Mixon. We ain't going to let that happen to us. Like, we're not going to let Joe Mixon do that to us again. So I feel like they'll probably put a little bit more priority all week on Joe Mixon as opposed to the Colts did. So I think probably somebody in that receiving core, I would say, probably gets off, maybe Tank or Diggs.
All right, man. I'm excited. I know you guys going to eat good out there, Buffalo Wild Wings. Sip on some for me, as usual. And, folks, y'all want to go out and see the fellas. They got tickets courtesy of Bud Light that are being given away. Obviously, they mentioned all of the fantastic items that are autographed. And, of course, keep it locked right here. You just got to do that in general because the drive obviously always giving you good content. But Titus Howard.
Titus Howard, man. 2:30
as well. So